If I would have to give a title to this thing here, to this meditation tonight, it would be The Supernatural World of the Invisible. Throughout this week, we've been praying from 6 until 7 or 7, whatever. We are seeking God's glory. We are seeking supernatural manifestation of God in the life of His people. And there may have been questions about why are we seeking glory. I'm going to make a point for you today. You know, just for beginners to get you excited about, when we live a glorious life, your financial situation changes. Somebody say like this. Huh? What do you mean? When you are living in supernatural life, when you are living in glory, your finances are affected to the better. Did you know that Abraham saw Jerusalem before he left to Jerusalem? Did you know that? Did you know that Abraham saw the new Jerusalem? Did you know that? He was in Padan Aram, and the Lord said, get out of your land and go to a land I'm going to show you. God showed him the new Jerusalem. What is it in the Bible? Hebrews 11. Go in and read and you'll find. I'm not going to get to this because then I'm going to lose track. I'm going to get carried away. But on Hebrews 11, it says that before Abraham got to Palestine, he saw the new Jerusalem. God literally showed it to him. Well, when Abraham left Padan Aram, he was already a wealthy guy. But once he started living in glorious living, I mean, can you imagine the dude is like 80 years old and the Lord tells him, I want you to count the stars, all of them. I said, it's impossible. It's too much, too many of them. The Lord said, that shall be your descendants. It's going to be impossible to count them. One of them is going to be Paul Santos. You don't even know who this dude is. It's going to be all the way in South America. Who? That's how your descendants is going to be. And the Bible says he believed. This is supernatural living. You're 80 years old, and come on, we don't have too many 80 years old making babies out there today. You with me here? 10 years went by. One day, he is walking somewhere around the Mediterranean Sea, and the Lord said, I want you to count the sand. It's impossible. So shall be your descendants. Amen. And he believed again. Yes. Then now the dude is about 99 years old. Jesus said, let's stop by. I like Sarah's cooking. Let's stop by Abraham's tent. Jewish girls can cook, boys. Tell you, they can cook. Jesus said, let's stop by. I like Sarah's cooking. So he stopped by when Abraham saw, said, hey, these are not ordinary dudes. He goes and he bows down before Jesus, said, my Lord, if I have found grace before you, please come in your servant's tent. Let me prepare your meal. Jesus said, do as you said. And they sat on the tent. Huh? Sarah! Yes, my Lord. Get busy. Bake me some matzahs. Bake some cake too. We got guests. Eliezer, yes, sir. Yes, master. Go get one of the kid goats, the little lamb. Prepare it, kid, right away. And you, got to be it. And then he gave over to everybody. Within an hour, here comes the food. They serve a table for Jesus and two angels. Isn't that great? Having Jesus for lunch. Huh? Well, Jesus asked, I think it was Mike, shall we hide from Abraham what we are about to do? Abe. Yes. We're going to just wipe out this place down the street. Too many gay people down there. Too many lesbians. But before we talk about this, 1 year from today, you're going to be holding your boy. Sarah is on the tent. Yeah, right. This dude is 100 years old. And besides, I don't have pleasure anymore. What is he talking about? And then he asked, why is Sarah laughing? Oh, you didn't laugh. Yes, you did laugh. And Jesus told him he would have a baby, and then they went about Sodom and Gomorrah stuff. You still with me, right? Yes. Now, it takes a lot of faith or guts to believe that at 100 years, you're going to father a child. But because this man is living glory life, this man is living a supernatural life. The Bible says that after Jesus left, he believed in the word of the Lord. Amen. All this is registered in the book of Genesis. Starts on chapter 12. And guess what? A year later, Abe had a boy called that he called Isaac. Or Itzak, as we say. Time went by. Itzak now is 40 years old. Sarah died at the age of 130. She couldn't enjoy her boy for 40 years. Are you with me? So what's the big deal? The man was living a glory life. And because of that, not only he became exceedingly rich, he also had the vigor to father a child at the age of 100. You still with me, right? Well, if that's not good enough for you, let me tell you this. After he died, Abe sent Eliezer to go get him a wife. And when Rebecca came, Isaac took her into his tent. She became his wife. And the Bible says that Abraham got another woman by the name of Keturah. And she birthed him 7 more sons. Now, we're talking about a 140 years old man having children. She was about 30, 40. Yeah. And the guy's still going. What is this? Glory living. When you are living a supernatural fashion, you are strengthened beyond natural means. Well, I don't know. You know, I see what you're saying. But my Bible said that he was rich. Amen? Do you remember that when you were out there, and sometimes you find yourself with an impulse to do some things that you don't want to do, but it becomes so irresistible that you end up doing it. Can I hear an amen from somebody? You know that you ought not to do that, but yet there is something that drags you out there, and you end up doing it although you don't want to do it, and you know you must not do it. What is it? There is an invisible world out there that few people pay attention to. Are you with me? Few people pay attention to. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I want to show you something very simple that you read time and over again, but maybe has never placed together like I'm going to do tonight. There are two worlds out there. And you got to live on both of them. For we do not wrestle. You know, that desire to do something that you don't want to do, that first that compels you to do things that you don't want to do, is the word wrestle. Against flesh and blood. But against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. Here comes the punch. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. There is a world out there, besides our God's world, which is called spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So we're doomed. No! There is a match that is much more powerful than the spiritual wickedness. But because people are ignorant about the two worlds, they often got caught in this world here, not knowing that there's something much greater, much better out there. See with me, right? So what you're saying? What I'm saying is that you and I have been called to live in glory mode. Because there are advantages of living in glory mode. Like what? Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, starting on verse 1. Watch this. Glory mode. What in the world are you talking about? Something called glory mode. What is living in glory mode? And the angel of the Lord, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, which by the way means Africa. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. We're together so far, right? Next verse. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. Seems like that the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, likes trees and likes fire. Isn't that right? It's appearing to him from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. What are you talking about? It is the glory being manifested that can tangibly be seen by human eyes. How do you know that? Is that flame that is burning, it can be seen, but yet it will not burn. Which means that mankind can see the glory of God. Verse 3, watch this. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? Because when God is present, he preserves. He preserves. When God is around, he will preserve. When God is around, things are beautiful. Amen. I will see this great sight. Now listen to the same verse in the New Living Translation. Watch this. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it. When the God is around, it's amazing, folks. The Backslider translation, better saying, the Message Bible, says the following word. Moses said, what's going on here? I can't believe this. Amazing. Why doesn't the bush burn up? Because God was present. He was contemplating the glory of God. Verse 4 goes better. Let's go. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, did you hear what it says here? When the Lord, that's Adonai, saw that he turned aside to look, God, well, no, who is it? Is God or is it the Lord? It's all of them because he is three in one. You know what I mean? He's the Trinity right there. He's the Trinity right there. He saw the angel of the Lord. Is that right? Now the Lord saw that he was coming. So it's the angel of the Lord. The Lord, now they have God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. You know, women should be a little patient with men because when you talk the first time, we never understand. You got to tell us twice. Y'all don't listen to me. Women should be more patient with your husbands, not the other way around. Wives, did you hear what I said? Be patient with the dude. We never get it the first time. That's why the Lord called it twice. Moses, Moses, huh? Then we got it. Here I am. Verse 5. See, sweetheart, it's biblical. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet. For the place where you stand is holy ground. I want to be filled with glory. Because whatever I'm going to be, it's going to be a holy ground. Because it's the glory of God. Yes. Then when you go to verse 6, it gets more interesting yet. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Thank God today the veil has been torn down from the top to the bottom. Amen. The access to the Father is open. We can contemplate his face right now. We contemplate him in the beauty of his holiness. Verse 7, it says, and the Lord say, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Tell your neighbor, God knows your sorrows. This is why we got to live in glory, because we're going to be in tune. Verse 8. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. God came down. If the glory doesn't come from above, it's worthless. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
If it's not coming from above, if it's not coming from heaven, it's worthless. Now, verse 9. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. God will always listen to your tears. It may sound that everything is silent, but God will always listen to your tears. It doesn't go uncounted. There's a bowl in heaven. Every tear that you and I drop is on the presence of God. And I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. When you are living in glory, you'll be able to hear God's calling. When you are living in glory, you'll be able to understand what is the task ahead of you. When you are living in glory, you are able to take on the pharaohs of the world. Verse 11, last verse. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? This boy needed to get his act together. And he did. Where did he do that? We go back to Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming from the mountain, the people gathered to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the Egypt, we don't know. We don't know what has happened to him. And then, well, you know what? I'm not going to go through this whole thing. But further down, it is going to say that when Moses was talking to God up there for 40 days, God told him, go down, your people already got messed up. And when Moses came down with the tablets in his hand, and he saw all the anarchy going on, he broke the tablets, and then the destruction began. And the Bible says that when the people look at Moses, they saw that his face shone. Living in glory rubs off on you. When you are in the glory of God, in the presence of God, it will rub on you. So there are some advantages of living in glory, because there are two worlds out there that people are not aware of. There's a spiritual wickedness in high places, which is controlling things today. The Bible says that the prince of this world is not God. He is the prince of this world. Did you know that above every prince there is a king? The Bible don't call Satan the king of this world. Call him the prince. Why? Because there is a king above him. But yet, this spiritual wickedness are working out there and causing a lot of mess. Causing a lot of damage. And church people are failing to understand that certain things cannot be tackled in a carnal manner. How many cases we have heard of children of church people now demon-possessed, schizophrenic, suffering from depression, and all the garbage in between. And what the first thing they do, instead of going to God, they take them to the doctor. And then the doctor got them high. And then the situation worsened. Is it wrong to go to the doctor? I'm not saying anything wrong to go to the doctor. But what is called a schizophrenia is actually a work of the invisible world in the life of someone. And how did that happen? A door was open for the enemy to jump in and start destroying things. And because our senses enjoy very much what is around us, there is little stimulus to jump into the supernatural world. Let me show you something. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40 and 41. Let's go back again to this two-world thing. I'm trying to make a point to show you that it's worth living in glory. Read it with me. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from one another in glory. So what you're saying? He says in here that there are two types of body, celestial bodies, or the one on the invisible realm, and there is the terrestrial body from terra, Latin, for earth. There's an earthly body. When we are concentrated on the earthly things, we fail to catch what is happening in the spiritual world. Yep, I'm coming. Somebody may think you try to put a burden on us. I'm not. I'm teaching you certain things because I am hoping that by the end of the year, if not all of you, at least half of you, will be able to drive into this parking lot and see angels walking around here. Amen. I want, I'm asking God, we are actually at home praying for this. God, open their eyes for them to see. Because there is more to life than the stinking flesh. There is more to life than this mortal earthly body. There's a spiritual world up there that is fantastic. Yesterday morning we were here, and all of a sudden my eyes were open, and there was a homosexual spirit here around two people. I'm not going to say who it was. We had a lot of people that was coming here yesterday. And I got so enraged that when they start cursing up, the stupid thing goes like this, and they start walking away out of the door. Not in here. Get out, piece of garbage. There is much to see. And there is great joy when you use the authority given to you, Lord, for you to use upon them and bust around them and see them getting out. How many times have we walked into place and the demons are fooling around and we come out, they just spread out like rats? Is that because we are holy? Absolutely not. But because we know in who we have believed. Because we know that the one that's in us is greater than all the ones that are in the world. So we're going to spend time concentrating, seeking God, seeking God's glory. And I'll tell you something else. Those who are lazy and don't want to seek the spiritual growth, we have a hard time in heaven. John 4:24 says that God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in flesh. So it's time to get ourselves akin with the spiritual world. Now, on the New Living Translation, it's a little crazy. Give me the New Living Translation here, brother. And the Message Bible is even worse. It's even crazier. There are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. You got that? There's two different stuff here. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. How different? The glory of the earthly body cannot go through this wall here. If I come and try to walk through, I can pass through because I have an earthly body. But when I have a spiritual body, a celestial body, a heavenly body, whatever you want to call it, I'll be able to walk straight through that wall without any problem. I'll be able to go up without suffering gravitation, the power of gravity. How do you know that? Jesus did that. Took all the boys to Mount Olive, say goodbye to the boys, kiss everybody, and then they start looking, and he was going up until he disappeared from their eyes because clouds covered him. It pays to live on the supernatural. It pays to seek the glory of God. It pays because it will give you the ability to identify Who is behind the scenes? Scenes, S-C-E-N-E-S. What are you talking about? Let's go to 2 Kings, chapter 6, starting on verse 14. Watch this. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now here's the Syrian king. Those idiots never learn. Never learn. Leave Israel alone. Mind your own business. But they don't learn. They send a great army there in Israel, to Israel. And they came by night and surrounded Jerusalem. He wasn't born for a surprise. Listen to verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariot. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" This is a fellow that was all the time in the flesh. Of the fact that he was in the presence of the man of God, he could never jump in the glory living. He could never jump in the spiritual. All that he could tell and talk and see, it was right before his eyes. You know, sometimes what is before your eyes doesn't quite really matter when you can see on the spiritual. We went to Suriname, and I took some of the church folks with us, and we went to visit a house of a man, Kamala's husband, and he hates everything that has to do with Jesus. Full-size Satan's temple. So when we get in, he goes up and pick up a machete. And when he comes, "In the name of Jesus, I bind you right now," he went right back. Didn't even last 30 seconds. We walked in the house, he's agitated because he hates Christians. And he thought, an idiot, "I'm going to scare them out with my machete." He comes with a big machete. When he comes, "I bind you power in the name of Jesus." You shake all them out, and he goes all the way back and disappears from our face. Sometimes before your eyes, it's not the real deal. The real deal is what you see. Watch this. Verse 16. This guy looked, saw all that army, and he's scared. "What shall we do?" The man of God answered, "Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." You know, if you don't want to believe this, use logic. One third of the angels fell and followed Satan. Are you with me here? So if it was 10 billion angels, only 3 billion follow Satan. We've got 7 billion on our side. The thing is, the ability to understand and to spot the angelic presence when they are around. But some of us are so busy with our computers and TVs and our smartphones and tablets that we can never jump into the spiritual realm to see what is going on. Listen to the next verse. And Elisha, the man of God, prayed, and this is what I'm doing for each one of you, and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." We are praying for God to open your eyes that you may see the angelic activity within this building, the angelic activity within our borders. It's so good to walk in and then you look and see angels just walking around. It's good. Can that happen today? Absolutely. My Bible says that my God is the same yesterday, today and forever. Absolutely, it can happen. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and what happened? He saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. In this case now, he became a consuming fire. Huh? They have over there all those army, all those chariots made of wood, but we, our God, has chariots of fire. What's the big deal? When the fire of our chariots pass by them, we'll burn down their chariots and we'll burn down their soldiers. Because greater is he that is with you and me than he that is out in the world. So living on the supernatural, living in glory land, will help you to see angelic work, whatever is happening in the atmosphere. This is why we are seeking glory. With glory comes anointing. And you know what? Anointing breaks the yokes. Well, preacher, I hear what you say. But you know, I don't know. Let's go to the next scripture. 18. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. Did you know that every time Elisha prayed, God heard? Why? The dude is living in glory living. He's in glory mode. He prayed to the Lord and say, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. Did God do that? And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. We are seeking glory because when the time comes to speak to the enemy, we're going to pray and God is going to honor your prayer. And the Bible says that God did according to the word of Elijah. Those of us who are seeking glory and are jumping to the supernatural and are willing to pay the price to get that glory, the time will come when you're going to dictate situations and things will change at your word. That's what happens when you're in glory. You're able to see the supernatural. You are able to call in reinforcement. And in this case, Elijah didn't even bother. He could have told the angel, strike them down. Said, nah, let's give them a break. They were stricken with blindness. And if you continue to read, which I'm not going to do, he will tell the captain, hey, the place you're looking is not this one here. Let me take you there. And everybody follow him. And when the time came, he got within the gates of the city. They shut down the gates. And then the word was given to the king that the men of God brought the army into the city. And the doors are shut. So the king came. Do I kill them, my father? No. You're going to kill those that you catch with your sword. Give them some food. Send them away. What? Give them some food. And then send them away. Why wouldn't he allow him to kill them? Because God was the one doing the miracle through a man filled with the glory of God. If you're out there in the field fighting, kill them. But this one was brought to you by the God of Israel that you may know the God in Israel. And you know what? The Bible said that he gave them food. After the food was prepared, the Lord, Elisha said, Lord, open their eyes. And when they opened their eyes, they're within Jerusalem and all the king's soldiers ready to kill them. Okay, say, relax. Sit down. I'm going to give you guys some food. And the Bible said that they cooked a great banquet, gave those men, open the gate, get out of here. And the Bible said there was no war between Syria and Israel for many, 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 many years. When the glory of God is present, it will avoid the shed of blood. Let's say now that all of you get filled with the glory of God and you walk downtown where they have been already 18 murders in 30 days, 40 shootings in one side of East Baltimore. You're just walking full of glory. You see all the demons. You take care of business. Bring all the gangbangers together and lead them to Christ. Can that happen? Absolutely. Here's a proof. So it pays to live in glory. It pays to seek the glory of God.
Amen. Right.
I'll tell you why a lot of people don't want to pursue this kind of thing. It doesn't come without a price. Say amen.
Amen.
It doesn't come without a price. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:17. Doesn't come without a price. I thought that Jesus Christ paid the price for your salvation. He did. This is no salvation. This now is edification. You've been edified. It takes a price. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Glory has a weight, and glory has a price. What is the price to get glory? Light affliction. What is light affliction? Hallelujah. Tomorrow comes again. Oh, yep. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a price to be paid. Paul said, because of the greatness of the revelations that I have from God, a thorn was placed on my flesh that I may not glory with the greatness of my revelation. He got the glory. All right. He was able to see, he was able to understand, and he's enjoying glory. Can you just imagine? This dude go to the house of that woman that worked with Lydia. And he met her along the way. He preached to her. She received Jesus. Huh? Received Jesus. She used to go all every day all the way to the water side. And she used to sow and do things for the widows, you know, and whatnot. And Paul met them by the riverside, and he preached to them, and she came to Christ. Now she goes on to say, if I have been found worthy in your sight, come to my home. Paul said, no. And she insisted, and then he went. Well, every day when they're walking to go to the riverside to have their devotional, the Bible says that this girl walked, this man is a servant of the living God. You must listen to what he's saying. Now, in today's world, people would get all pumped up. Oh, yes, you see, the girl's testifying. She don't know me, but she can see God in me. It is no God, dude. It was a demon. Now, the people that are living on the flesh at all the time, you see, there's a witness. Never saw this young lady right now, and she can testify that I am of God. This is how most of the prophets will do today. You know what I mean? And this thing went on for 2 long weeks. One day, Paul just got fed up, looked to get out of her. Boo! Down she went. The demon that was playing church people was cast out of that girl. And she could no longer do divination. And that's where the whole uproar started in the city. They beat him up. And then I said, well, I want to know why you're beating us up being Roman citizens. And they all shook. You're not a Roman citizen. It cost me a lot of money. Well, for me, it doesn't cost anything. I'm by birth. And the Bible said they shook because they're beating up a Roman citizen right now. When you're living in glory mode, you're not only going to be able to discern what is going on in the spiritual realm like Elisha did and showed to Gehazi. You're also going to be able to discern when the God is speaking and when this Pentecostal witchcraft. What? What is Pentecostal witchcraft? A demon that will be talking like a Christian. That demon didn't come and jump on Paul and start cussing Paul out or whatsoever. He was walking behind every day. Listen to this man. They're a servant of the Most High God. 2 weeks later, Paul got anointed. Get out of her.
Boom.
Way down she went, and the demon left. When you are living in glory mode, you are able to discern. You are able to see what is going on. Now you say, well, you're talking about Abraham. I really don't see how this whole thing could tie together, Abraham and glory. You say that when glory comes to our skin, we rejuvenate. Yes. Yes, we do. I don't believe it. I mean, I never saw that in the Bible. Then you will see tonight. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3, starting on verse 7. When you are living in glory mode, your skin is affected by the glory of God. And this is why Abraham was able to make babies at the age of 140. Are you with me? The Bible says in Genesis 26 that he married Keturah, and she gave him 5 boys. And he also left a gift for them. Abraham died at 174 years old, which means his firstborn from Keturah was 34. And if she had one after the other, the youngest was 27. Isaac was 74. Are you with me so far? God gave this man a full length because he was living in glory mode. Watch this. But if the ministry of death, which he's talking about is the law, written and engraved on stones. You see what I'm talking about, right? Written and engraved on his stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadily at the face of Moses. Why? When you live in glory mode, it robs you. Are you with me here? Being in the presence of God for 40 days without food, without McDonald's, without water, or anything else, 40 days was good enough so that the glory of God robbed on Moses. And when he came down, the Bible said they could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance. And he says that was a passing glory. Why? It was the old covenant. Today, glory is supposed to reside within you and I. What? Yes. Paul said in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if Christ is in you, glory is supposed to be radiant. Wherever you go, people are supposed to look. There's something about you. And they will ask you, what is it about you? They will inquire about your faith, and you should be able to tell them about that glory. It's just like we go take guest speaker to eat at Applebee's. He wants to go to Applebee's, and he's thinking that he's the king of a hill. Well, it's all right. You're the king of the hill. You're the guest speaker. So when he gets in there, he's joking with the waitress. All right. And she comes back and says, Miss, that says the Lord. Do not abort that baby. There was a pause, and the preacher's looking at me, and then look at the young lady. I thought he may have thought that she would have cussed me out. Although, despite of the fact that the father is in jail, God has a purpose for that child. And then whatever the Lord said, bam, 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 bam. And she is astounded. Who told you that? The one in whose presence we stand. We stand. Guess what? We went back to Applebee's on Reston Road some 7-8 months later. There she was. And is it a boy, right? She said, yes, it is a boy. Now the preacher is looking, wow, that was wild. No, dude, this is normal. That's how it's supposed to be. We supposed to seek the glory of God. We supposed to seek God's presence on a daily basis that is going to rub on us. And when the unbeliever look at us, my Lord, what's it with you? There's something about you. This is how God wanted it to be. Jesus is gone from the world. in a physical form, so you and I have to fill in the gap. Do you realize that you may be the only Jesus that some people ever know? You're the only Jesus they may ever see. So let us give them a chance to see in us the one that they never met. And when we are living on glory mode, not only the skin is rejuvenated, not only the strength comes back that you can live up to 175, but when you're living in glory, it gives you goodies. Every preacher on the book that I have heard preach says, my God shall supply all my needs. Continue the rest according to his riches. And what is the riches of God? In glory. So when I'm living in glory mode, I can tap in the riches of God. I wish people would understand this. When I'm living, when I'm pursuing glory mode, I can tap in the riches of God. Is my dad? Is your dad? Amen? So if what is dad's, it's ours. Is that right? And if we are good stewards, go ahead, help yourself. What's the conclusion, preacher? There are some battles that you cannot fight on your own. You need help. There are things happening around you that you can't comprehend. You need glory to see in the invisible realm what is happening so that you can take action. At the end of the day, you are Christ's ambassador. Say amen.
Amen.
You are a royal priesthood. People that will connect the unbeliever with God. You are a peculiar people. You are different by nature. When people call me weird, thank you. I take that as a compliment. I'm supposed to be weird. The Bible calls it peculiar. I want to challenge you. Turn off your television for 7 weeks. Turn off your computer, Facebook, for 7 weeks. Turn off your tablets, your smartphones. And that amount of time that you dedicate to these things, spend it on your Bible and on prayer. Come back to me in 7 weeks and tell me what God has done. Amen. 7 weeks! That's a lot! Well, it took Moses 6 weeks. 40 days. Amen? It took Moses 40 days, the equivalent of 6 weeks. So why do I have to do 7? Because you ain't tight with God as Moses was. So, preacher, wrap up for me. What you're trying to say? Seeking the glory of God should not be something out of this world. Say amen. That should not be something that would cause us to, oh, here we go again. When we are living on the flesh, when we are living in earthly mode or terrestrial mode, we don't want to do anything that has to do with the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 say, the flesh is enmity against the things of God. Jesus said in John 6:63, the Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It is on us to seek the deep things of God. I could go on for another 3 hours, but I'm going to stop. I may touch this thing back again, but I'm going to end with this sentence. We are told on the Bible that we supposed to grow from glory to glory. What? When you came to Christ, you were brought out of darkness. So the light of God has shone upon you. So you're in glory level one. Then as you read your Bible and you seek God and you get baptized and you show the devil and his angels that you're out of the game, you're sold out to Christ, you're in glory too. I'm just making up now as I go. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you move to glory three. When you learn to take authority over evil spirit, you're in glory five. When you're praying for the sick and they're getting healed, you're in glory six. That's still 94 steps to go. But you're on your way up. I don't know how many steps is there to go. But I'm trying to show you that our Christian life is progressive. And this is why Paul said that we grow from glory to glory. The Lord took me in a journey last week. I got spanked in a lovely way. And after the spanking, I say spanking because my flesh didn't like what was going on. At the end of this time that we had, 4 days. No food. Little snack at the end of the evening. The worms were fighting, biting my stomach, food! And I got those big worms. And they were hungry. The flesh was complaining. I woke up 8 times in the evening. My stomach is growling. Yet. At the end of the 4th day, the Lord opened my eyes to see something that I would have never seen if I hadn't done that consecration. I was able to take care of some personal business. This is things involving my family. I'm not at liberty to get into detail for you, but one of my children would have been hurt real bad if I hadn't seen what I saw. And then I could jump into the spiritual world and assign a warrior angel to fight on behalf of one of my children. It pays to live in glory mode. Let me give you a fresh example. Our Lexus is being serviced by the dealership. So they gave us a loaner. They gave us a 2013 Lexus GS 350. And that thing drives like a horse. It's a sports car. It's all stiff, all jumpy. So I called the guy today. What happened to our car? It's not ready yet. It may be ready by Friday or maybe Monday. So keep the loaner. What you got? He said a lousy GX 350 and drives horrible. So I come up and pick up a GX 460. Brand new. It's parked outside. How much are you going to pay for that? Zero. They're fixing her baby. We're going to enjoy a 2013 with few miles. And we can keep it for a week. I could go to Florida and come back. When you live in glory mode, you can tap into the riches of God, which dwells in glory. If nothing else will excite you, to seek the glory of God, to seek God's presence. You're not only going to be healed, your skin will be rejuvenated. You can tap into God's resources without sweating for that. But for me, the best is when the enemy comes against us, God will open my eyes and see how much is around here. Beat it, man. You're not a match. Come on, get a life. In the name of Jesus, get out without even sweating, because the glory of God is manifested on the life of his people. Amen? Amen. Father God, may your word find place in our hearts tonight. Give us that desire to seek after you as one who seeks after gold. Because your glory is better than gold. Your love is better than life. Give us that hunger, Lord, to be in your presence. Alas, each one of us could spend 40 days without McDonald's on your presence. Maybe and only maybe we'd have people with their face glittered, shining, because your glory is rubbing on us. Lord, give us that desire to seek after your glory, to seek after your presence more than anything else in life. Because in your presence is where we belong. In the precious name of Jesus.